This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to another episode of The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast, with your hosts, Bill Patterson and Chet West.
Bill, the Tigers are in first place.
Your first place Detroit Tigers. It's got a really nice sound to it after one week into the season.
Has a wonderful, wonderful ring to it. I have some things I'm curious about. We're going to talk about them on the show today. We're going to recap what has happened here in the first week plus of play. We've got three series under our belts. We'll wrap up that third series today against the White Sox. Bill's going to give you his news and notes. I assume you've got some news and notes all prepared for us, Bill.
I do, and I've even got trivia today, armed and ready.
The missing link. That's what we're missing here. And then we're going to get around to doing a kind of our look ahead at the schedule, what we see coming down the pipeline for our Tigers here in the coming week. But let's get on to what we just saw this past week and a half or so here. What are your initial takes on the first three series of the season so far?
Again, not to beat a dead horse, but the pitching has been as good as we thought it would be. And quite frankly, we haven't really gotten a quality start out of Skubal yet. So to think that that's still coming as potentially as early as tomorrow when the Yankees come in for a 3-game set, which I think is going to tell us or be very telling to what this team's capable of. I think, you know, they've won the series against the White Sox already by winning the first two games. They took 2-3 against the Mariners. We've discussed the Dodgers series, but the Dodgers are on a different plane right now than the rest of Major League Baseball.
That being said,
I think the Yankees series at home with Skubal, Flaherty going 1-2 is going to be very, very, very telling for us. And then Reese Olson, you know, doing the yeoman's work on Wednesday. A couple notes for you. The Tigers are going to be on national TV twice this week. They are on Apple TV Plus against your Minnesota Twins Friday evening, and Wednesday evening they will be on Amazon Prime against the Yankees at 5:40 Central Time, 6:40 Eastern Time. So again, the momentum behind this team nationally is just growing, and that leads me into my next segment, which is, what are we going to call Kerry Carpenter? Is he Kerry Bonds, or is he the Carp Bomb? And I've been working on a concoction similar to a sake bomb called the Carp Bomb. Using a little umami sauce. I don't know if you keep that in your fridge. It's fermented fish paste. It's like a stronger soy, if you would. And I thought we'd add a dash of that to maybe a sake bomb and call it the Carp Bomb. But you might like Kerry Bonds better.
I don't particularly care for the Kerry Bonds reference. I find it somewhat funny. Wasn't a huge Barry Bonds fan, pre or post steroid allegations. I think I like the Carp Bomb myself. Okay. And the play on the sake. That's not bad. I kind of like that.
All right, let's
roll. What I like even more is the fact that he has shown incredible amounts of power over the last few games here and looks like Kerry Carpenter of 2024.
Yeah, and to keep going with that, the lineup where we thought we'd get production, Riley Green, Kerry Carpenter, we're getting production. Although his metrics aren't speaking loudly, the team is scoring more runs when Justin Henry Molloy is in the lineup and batting leadoff, and playing designated hitter. Spencil Torkelson continues to please and surprise and give us what we always thought he was potential, or his potential, as being a number one overall pick. There are still holes in this lineup. If Dylan Dingler's not in the lineup and Jake Rogers is, Jake Rogers is batting right around 100. He has not really had many good plate appearances. Cole Keith is still struggling in his transitions. We have gotten some good production already from Zach McKinstry. You know, he usually gives you one good month a season. So let's revisit this in May and June and see what happens from there. But I think as expected, the starting pitching's been good. The bullpen's been, it's had its moments. I don't think they're anywhere where they were, you know, the tail end of last season. But bullpens are always a work in progress. And I think we have good reasons to be optimistic. I would still say until we get a full roster healthy, this team has holes, 2-3, the bottom third of the lineup. And unless that changes, I think they're going to struggle against teams like the Yankees, maybe the Red Sox, you know, the Orioles, some of the elite teams, Rangers in the American League. That being said, we cannot judge ourselves against the Dodgers because, again, I think the Dodgers 27 through 40 man roster is arguably better than a lot of the other rosters that you're going to see across baseball. So on that, I'm going to go around the horn in MLB. Great news for everybody that's not a Dodger fan. I'm teasing. Shohei Ohtani throws bullpen session as he inches towards return to pitching. So the strong just gets stronger, however you want to say it. On other news and notes, the other team in Southern California, the Los Angeles Angels of California, Mike Trout is getting hot. He's hit 3 home runs in 3 games. So it's good to see, you know, Trout doing some good things. He just seems to be, I don't know, for playing in a large market team, the Angels are very similar to the White Sox in the fact that they don't behave very well like a large market team with such a marketable star. So that was just one of the, I think, news and notes that I wanted to share. And I'm going to move into something that's going to, like, it's the trivia, but it's also something that I think will hit fairly close to home. Yesterday, we celebrated a Chicago Cub who was a drafted and only been a Chicago Cub, Ian Happ, playing in his 1,000th game as a Chicago Cub.
Yeah. Hard to believe it's been that many for him already.
Exactly. And if you and I had had this discussion in 2017 at the start of the season, he would not have been like the last remnant, I would say, of this, you know, glorious 2016, you know, team that broke the curse for the Chicago Cubs. So the trivia is, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you're going to love this question.
Fire away.
The Cubs have only had 3 homegrown players that they've drafted play 1,000 or more games in the Cubby pinstripe blue. Can you name the other 2 since we've already discussed Mr. Ian Happ?
Gosh.
One of them's your guy from the 90s.
1,000 games. Homegrown. And how far back are we going?
You'll know both of these, meaning that this is not like some weird 1930s, 1940s trivia. One's predominantly a player in the 80s, and the other played in the 80s, but really came to fame in the 90s.
I'm going to go with Mark Grace.
I was going to say.
It's got to be one.
He bought us beers at Murphy's.
So yes.
Mark Grace.
Thanks, Gracie.
Thank you, Mark.
Who else? You know, I think I'm going to go, it's not Sandberg because he came up with the Phillies.
That's
originally
correct.
So it's not him. Chawon Dunston?
Yes, sir. Ding, yes. Ding, 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 ding.
Look at that.
You rocked it.
Holy cow.
Apparently, the next t-shirt at your best friend's favorite t-shirt company is on me when you find your
that'll
way to
be
the
fantastic
neighborhood or the friendly confines.
Give me a Chawonometer t-shirt. That would
exactly
be excellent. All right. Off the Cubs. Back onto the Tigers.
Of course. But that was fun trivia, wasn't
it? That was fun.
It?
That was good. I enjoyed that. That was fantastic. We should all have right baseball trivia for every show, I think. I don't think I'll get them all right, though.
All right. Let's get back to the Tigers. So game 3 of a 3-game homestand opening, you know, day Friday. Game 2 yesterday, they won 7-4 Friday. They won 7-2 yesterday. And I think what's exciting today is not only the chance to sweep a division rival, but Jackson Jobe's going to get his first home start at Comerica Park.
I think what I'm looking for here in this game, you're going to get Martin Perez. He's a lefty. It'll be interesting to see how we handle the lefty. We saw Carp hit a Carp bomb off a lefty the other day, went the other way, plopped it into the left field seats. That's kind of a monumental thing for him. And the big question this year was, how often are they going to bat Carp against lefties? We'll see if he's in the lineup again today. I don't know if we have a lineup yet for this game.
He's scheduled to be, from what I'm seeing right now. Yeah,
Looks as though he'll be batting sixth. Yeah.
Playing left field, and he's in there against Martin Perez, who had an unbelievably good start.
Yeah, I saw that.
Didn't allow an earned run. His whip was impressive, 0.50, and he pitched six innings, so he got a quality start in there.
9 Ks.
Yeah, so the Tigers are going to have their hands full today. Again, the lineup I'm seeing right now is Malloy batting leadoff DH, Ibanez third base, Torkelson in the three-hole first base, Margot batting cleanup, which my jaw's on the floor right now, and playing right field. I don't know why he cannot play center field, which we all thought that was why they signed him, but he has not played center field. My guy, Dylan Dingler, catcher, and then the Carp bomb, left field. Our guy, wink, wink, nod, nod, Javi Baez, shortstop. And then Creedler in center field, because somebody has to play center field right now. And then McKinstry is batting ninth and at second base. And again, I've got to give McKinstry a great deal of credit. He has been as versatile and as utilitarian as expected, and you can see why he's an AJ Hinch favorite. He's a Swiss Army knife and gives you just so many different options. And if he can bat, right now he's 7 out of 25 and has 2 RBIs, 1 stolen base, and is batting 280. If we can get that out of him, he is part of the solution, not part of the problem.
He is a very important piece to the puzzle right now.
Agreed.
And I would then task you with, if you could swap one of these lineup pieces out today, who would it be and who would you stick back in there? I mean, we've got a couple questionable names here. We've got Ibanez, who has not had a great start to the season in the limited play he's gotten.
No, he's 1 for 12.
Yeah. We have Margot, not thrilled. And then
he's
Creedler.
5 for 13 and has 3 RBIs. I know. He's I don't think it'll continue, and I don't think you will either.
Yeah, but let's see what happens. I mean, I'm fine with him getting a start. I'm not really looking at him as the big question mark here. Creedler in center field, he's played some decent defense so far. I think he's had a hit or two that have come at a key moment, but other than that, I don't think he's been great. Who would you swap out of this? Who would you rather see? And who would you rather see?
This goes back to my Bobby Higginson, just about anybody. I'm joking. I mean, the problem is that Torres has been day to day with an injury. So that frees up second base. Keith, they're giving a day off just to try to get his head right, is my imagination, or, extrapolation on that, using a little bit of imagination. I do think Dylan Dingler has deserved to get in there. Yeah. Rogers just isn't hitting. Yeah. His defense is still absolutely outstanding. That is Rogers.
Yeah.
But when you have somebody like Dingler that's 6 for 15,
sure,
he's got a home run, he's got 6 RBIs, and is batting 400.
Yep.
They'll continue to platoon him. So
I'm not shocked that we're seeing Keith out of lineup today, given that we've got a lefty-lefty matchup here.
I mean, the big omission is Riley Green.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would be the number one choice. That being said, I would like the Tigers to get healthy sooner than later. I mean, in a perfect world, I'd love to have Vierling in center field and or moving McKinstry to third and then having Creedler come off the bench in this scenario.
I think that in an interesting twist to this whole thing, just looking at past matchups against Martin Perez, and the sample sizes are small, Margot has had the most at-bats against him. He and Baez. Neither one have fared great. Maybe 2 or 3 hits out of 15 at-bats for Baez and less for Margot. One of the guys that has done pretty well off of Martin Perez in the past is Ibanez.
Well, that's probably why he's in the two-hole then.
3 at-bats, 3 hits. 9 at-bats, 3 hits. He's got a dinger off him. So maybe that's why Ibanez is seeing the lineup today.
Thinking about
Keith's struggles so far, he has struggled a bit, although he's been turning it on lately. So maybe this is Hinch saying, like, I'm going to give you a break now that you're doing, you're producing over the last three, four games. I'm going to give you a break against the lefty. Have you sit and watch today? You could see him being a late inning replacement, maybe if they go to a righty or something. But
oh, certainly. I don't know that the Tigers, I mean, I hope they see enough pitches and can chase Martin Perez. What I don't think the White Sox are going to do is pitch him more than six innings. If they didn't do it last outing, why would they do it this outing? Unless something's greatly changed, which I can't imagine it would. That being said, I think the key thing for Malloy, Ibanez, and Torkelson is just to see as many pitches as possible. See if Margot and Dingler, if they can get on base with walks, or Carpenter can do their thing. And then we'll just have to cross our fingers and hope and pray at the bottom third of the lineup being Baez, Creedler, and McKinstry.
Yeah. And I think, you know, they've won the series, right? So they're going for the sweep today, which would be awesome. I think Hinch is kind of gambling on the fact that, you know what, we won the series. Let's see if we can get three with this kind of half lineup here and rest a couple guys for the Yankees series.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the idea. Maybe that's the look on it. So
if I can give one shout out to a White Sox player, they are not hitting as a team whatsoever. But Andrew Benintendi, the highest White Sox signing in White Sox history, is off to a pretty scorching start for him. He's got two home runs, batting north of 300 at 310, has six RBIs. That's not as much his issue. There's typically been nobody on base for him. His slugging, he's 517. On base plus is 355. He's never been a big one.
The White Sox, once again, are going to struggle, it looks like. They aren't. I don't think they're the worst team in the league that I've seen this year, though.
Who would that
be? I had the pleasure of watching a couple innings of the A's and Rockies yesterday in a snowstorm in Colorado. That was brutal to watch.
Those Colorado, two teams. For a team that can draw, I mean, they draw $2.5 million almost annually.
Yeah.
$3 million if they have a pulse. I think they might be the worst run franchise in baseball.
They do get a very good following from their fan base. Your guy, Chris Bryant, nowhere to be seen in yesterday's game. I don't know if he started the season off hurt, if he's just vanished. I have no idea.
Think he's ever, that foot's ever healed.
I don't think he's, well, it's been back issues, I thought, over the last couple seasons, too. He's had these back issues flaring up. Anyhow, talk about a guy that fell off the face of the earth, got a huge contract and has just been unheard from over the last couple seasons. But the Rockies, just watching them, they've got a couple of young guys. And the A's likewise have a few young guys, but it's almost like watching the Tigers if like Sweeney and Colt Keith were our only hope. Like that's kind of the level of what I saw out on the field. It was kind of weird.
Outside of the A's not having a home this year or for the next few seasons, and John Fisher, who is the worst owner in baseball.
Well, I think that's pretty well documented.
I mean, that's no surprise there. That being said, there is hope for the Athletics, and they do have players. Their farm system always produces. The Rockies, given the division they play in and the fact that they are going to have to go up against the Dodgers and the Padres, what is it, 12 times a piece? I mean, that is rough for them. It is rough. And I just feel like Colorado and Denver are, it's a great sports state. It's a great sports city. And I just, you know, as an opposing fan that doesn't really have a dog in the fight, I feel for them because they've supported the Avalanche when they moved, you know, from Quebec as the Nordiques. They have always supported the Denver Broncos. They've supported the Nuggets through thick and thin. You know, I mean, the highlights of Alex English to now the Joker. And I just feel like they deserve better. One thing I did want to give a shout out is, so the Tigers upcoming three-game set at home against the Yankees. Again, I think it's going to be a very pivotal moment going forward on that. And then I have to ask, you've got a weekend series with your Detroit Tigers coming to the Twin Cities. Are you planning to get to Target Field at all?
We will see. I may try to get there for one game. It's early in the year, so it's going to be a little chilly, although I think the weather's looking pretty good for next weekend. The end of this weekend and next weekend, I think we're in the 60s. So I may try to get over there for a ball game. We'll see what happens.
The Tigers then head to Milwaukee for the friendly confines of Miller Park.
Yes.
Which does have a retractable roof. So I am planning on going up to at least one of those.
Are you
going to
shoot up for a game? Good.
Oh,
good
for
you.
Yeah. On a Monday through Wednesday, I'm going to make the time.
Good for you.
I might even bring the microphone.
Get out. We'll see what happens next week.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. I'm going to wear my Parrish jersey and hope for the best.
What are you looking forward to in the Yankees series?
I mean, if the Tigers.
Torpedo bats? How about torpedo bats?
I didn't bring it up in news and notes. I was waiting for it. No,
everybody's got to have these by the end of the season, right?
Not torpedo bats. I think what I'm looking most forward to is Tarek Skubal on the bump tomorrow. And the fact that he has not been the Tarek Skubal that we saw last year. And, you know, he's pitching in the daytime against Carlos Rendon. And I just think we're going to get just a really, 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 really good pitching matchup. And excuse me, I'm sorry. I need to forward that to Tuesday. But we've got Mize on the bump tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, so what I was talking about was Tuesday with Carlos Carrasco versus Terry Schiavo.
Gotcha.
And they are doing the April and the D yet again, which means that Monday's game is going to be a 2-10 start. Tuesday's game is going to be a 12-10 start. And then this is just awesome. We get Wednesday afternoon baseball, 12:10 prime video, as I mentioned. So I think that's probably more to do with the Yankees and the torpedo bats. But hey, you know what? You just play who's on the schedule, and I'm just happy that the Tigers are.
I love having
interest nationally.
Prime time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice prime time slot. And we're going to get Aaron Judge and his already 6 home runs.
And he's not using a torpedo bat.
I tell you what, he is crushing the baseball. Another guy who's started off real hot is Volpe too.
Yeah.
Good young player. And so they're going to have, yeah, they got a, you know, no Juan Soto, but they're going to be just fine.
And they starting fleeced off strong. The Cubs, the Bellinger deal.
That was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Absolutely inexcusable for a major market team.
Yeah. There's a big article about it in The Athletic this past week about the Cubs being like, they have the largest discrepancy between income and money spent. And their excuse is that they're spending it in other areas of the baseball operations outside of salaries for players. Found that interesting.
Yeah.
It sounds like
building more hotels and restaurants and picking up pieces of Wrigleyville bit by bit, which, don't get me wrong, they've done a wonderful job out of it. I mean,
I think they're trying to allude to the fact that they're spending it on scouting or statistical analysis or some other coaching aspect, making the players better. I am sorry, but, you know, there was quite a discrepancy there. It was something like $550 million income and $215 spent or something like that. And they were like, as far as that that margin, they were like fifth from the bottom, surrounded by Pittsburgh and a couple other teams and income, baseball income to salary spent. And I think that that's embarrassing. And then when you have to try to cover it up, I don't know. It's just spend the money, Ricketts, for crying out loud.
The interesting thing too is that the ownership group of, you know, led by Tom Ricketts gets really prickly when they have to do interviews and media appearances about this. So it's interesting that we could hear the same quotes and you took it as, oh, we're investing in baseball operations, where I heard the same quotes and took it as, no, we're investing, you know, on Clark Street or on Edison, you know, and but not per se on Wrigley Field itself and not per se on the Cubs themselves. So I did have one other news and notes.
Yeah, go
ahead. I did some deep digging, and a little bit of this is just a hypothesis and extrapolation on my part. But Rob Manfred, for better or for worse, keeps talking about expansion. And when baseball expands from 30 currently to 32 teams, I did some digging and kind of created what it's going to look like, because they want to go to 8-4 team divisions. And so I was doing this with as minimal disruption as possible between existing current divisions, current rivalries, and also trying to keep travel to a minimum. Therefore, and I didn't name these, but what you'd call the American League East, if that's what happens, would be your Yankees, Red Sox, Orioles, and Blue Jays. Your National League East would be the Mets, Phillies, Pirates, and Reds. Your American League North or Central would be the Tigers, Guardians, White Sox, Twins. Mm-hmm. Your National League would be Cubs, Cardinals, Brewers, Royals. So the Royals would be a team switching.
Okay.
And then we're going to go to two Southern divisions. One would be pretty Florida-based, but it's going to be the Rays, the Marlins, the Braves, and the Nationals. And then the counterpart would be your Rangers, Astros, Rockies. And I have an expansion team in either Austin or San Antonio at this point. which I thought geographically would make sense. Then you've got kind of your Northeast, which is going to be the Angels, A's, at that time hopefully playing in Las Vegas, the Mariners, and then Portland's getting an expansion team. So that way,
Northwest, okay.
Yeah, so that way Seattle finally has somebody close to them. Again, the Mariners, A's, and Angels have always been in the American League West together. And then the final division would be your historic National League West, Dodgers, Giants, Padres, Diamondbacks.
And one more time, go back. What would the Tigers division be again?
Virtually unchanged. Tigers, Guardians, White Sox, Twins.
Okay.
Yeah. So there were some teams I had
trouble with. Royals. Well, you lose the Royals, but that's about it.
I mean, yeah, I put them over with the Cubs, Cardinals, and Brewers. I think there's no way the Cubs-Brewers rivalry has thrived. Cubs-Cardinals, you can't interrupt that. And I do think there's something about the show-me state, you know, Kansas City, St. Louis being rivals. I agree that the Nationals probably could have been put up with the Mets and Phillies if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like the Reds have always kind of gotten the short end of the stick, so I thought we'd keep them in the Pirates. You know, Pirates, Phillies, sure. Same state, couple hours apart, Reds, Pirates, 2 hours apart. So, I mean, there's probably a lot that could go into this. And again, I picked Austin and Portland as the two cities to add. The reason I didn't have Nashville on here is because there is strong opposition from the Nationals, the Braves, the Rays, the Marlins, even the Cardinals, the Reds.
Cincinnati's not far. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, there's a lot of franchises surrounding Nashville.
There's a lot of baseball around there. The issue is their ownership groups really seems to have things buttoned up and tight. But I think if this is going to happen, and you know, look at what's happening this season, where you've got the John Fisher A's that we cannot call Oakland, we cannot call Sacramento, and we cannot call Las Vegas, playing in a AAA stadium in Sacramento, which is completely avoidable. And that's why I think we're so down on John Fisher as an owner. Natural disaster in terms of the hurricane, unfortunately, took off the roof in St. Petersburg for the Rays. And the Rays, and I thought this was pretty classy of the Yankees, they gave their AAA field for the season, which is, I would say, as nice of a AAA field as there probably is in all of baseball. George Steinbrenner Field in Tampa Bay. It's right across from where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play. And for a few select listeners, it's also a stone's throw from Mons Venus, one of the more famous gentlemen's clubs in that part of the world. Anyhow,
Mons Venus, cut the check. We just did advertising for you, for crying out loud.
So where I was going to say next, I would think that Austin has been very supportive of their MLS team. They've been very supportive of their F1 race. And I mean, between San Antonio and Austin, you have the largest population cumulatively in the United States that doesn't have a professional team. If you built it near the Austin airport, which is on the north end of town, San Antonio and Austin would then be somewhat, you could make it easy, I guess, for both fan bases.
Yeah, I could see that.
And, you know, Austin's pretty progressive. So that's why I gave them a look. And then Portland's long had downtown land set aside that can be developed for a team. And I do think it's important for the Mariners, Angels, A's, wherever they end up, it's going to be Vegas. Just having more of a West Coast presence on it.
Sure.
So that was kind of my logic behind it.
But Portland's got an incredible history for baseball, too.
Really?
If you look back on that, yeah. There's some interesting Portland baseball history out there.
While we talk about baseball history.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go on.
Just one of our listeners sent the comment that we were going to do a segment on Greenland's rich history with baseball, and I've got to pull the cat out of the bag. There is no deep and rich history.
Zero. That's an interesting topic for another day, but there's nothing to talk about. So
nothing.
They can't even play soccer because they don't have grass growing there. So it's they can't even grow the grass for it, apparently. So a couple things on this whole baseball relocation / new clubs coming into the league. I think Nashville would still be the best spot to put a team, regardless of the feelings of all the other clubs surrounding the area. Portland, I debate. I don't know. I think you've got, like I said, there is this very kind of rich history with baseball in Portland. Go look it up. It's interesting.
The Pacific Coast League was the, I mean, that's where Joe DiMaggio came about.
Ted Williams, DiMaggio all played out there.
Rich history. Yeah.
There's some pretty good history there, and maybe Portland could support a baseball team.
They've done really well supporting the Trailblazers through thick and thin.
Yeah.
That being said, it's half the amount of games, though, is the big difference. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, Portland's weather, similar to Seattle, they would have to build something with a retractable roof.
You'd need that.
And, you know, selling out 41 games is baseball's unique in the fact that you have to really, really have a strong support to get 81 games. You know, let's just say 60% full, 80% full, you know?
Sure.
And you realize, like, how competitive it is for a team like the Tigers, even though they're the only team in their market, for them to draw, you know, over 2.5 million fans, and you just divide that by 81. Yeah. I mean, you really, really, you know, with a, let's just call it a 40,000 to 45,000 seat ballpark on average across Major League Baseball, you know, leaving the Yankees, the Rockies and Dodgers out of that. I mean, you really need 80% plus, you know, through the turnstiles, and that's difficult.
One other thing I want to bring up before we dive way too far into that topic. The games that are happening for the A's and the Rays in these smaller stadiums, people are kind of psyched about it.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, I want to go see Major League Baseball in this tiny ballpark. It's a more intimate setting. Like, is there something to take away from that? I mean, do some of these teams, like the Rays and the A's that didn't draw very well to begin with, is the recipe to build a slightly smaller stadium with lower capacity so you can bring people out to a more intimate experience? I mean, I think the A's ballpark, what is it, the Oakland Coliseum they played in, was a disaster because it was so large.
Yeah, and had huge foul lines.
You could put that silly place anywhere and they'd draw poor crowds. Nobody wants to go see baseball there. But, like, is the idea to shrink the stadium down a little in some of these maybe smaller markets and fill it and give it a little more? I don't know. I mean, maybe you're turning away revenue for the big games.
I don't think so, though, because let's talk about the best. I mean, you know, we talk about the new stadium renaissance that began with Camden Yards. Large stadium, but intimate, you know, one city block. Target Field's very similar to that. Oracle, AT&T, whatever they're calling it in San Francisco, very similar to that. Sure. And then you think about the two crown jewels in baseball. Like, any baseball fan you talk to, have you been to Wrigley? Have you been to Fenway? And those are two of the smaller yards out there. So I think you're onto something. I think that's a pretty astute observation. And again, you're probably better having the demand exceed supply. And you got to figure if baseball did go to any of these towns, whether it's one we didn't mention, Charlotte's probably ready as well. The only problem with that is their downtown stadium, as gorgeous as it is, cannot be retrofitted from everything I've read and heard to expand to major league capacity, which is,
I mean, that's the other thought. If you don't want to put it in Nashville, you put it in Charlotte. The Carolinas deserve a team. The Virginias and Carolinas get around a team. I mean,
I think all four of those deserve it.
Let's jump to the week ahead real quick and give our final thoughts. Yankees series, we talked a little bit about this already. We're probably going to get some combination of, it looks like the Stroh show might be pitching in one of the next three games here.
Wednesday?
Yeah, I think it's Wednesday's game. It looks as though we'll probably get Max Fried tomorrow, maybe? Or will we get him Wednesday?
We had Thursday. Carlos Rondon.
Or Tuesday, I mean.
Carrera.
All right. Yep. We'll get Carrasco or whatever.
Or Carrasco, excuse me. Yeah, sorry.
So we're going to get Carrasco, probably Stroman, and it looks like Fried may fall in there somewhere. What's as far as that series goes, I think we're going to have some, that'll be a tough one. I'll be happy if we take one out of three against the Yankees. I'd love to see us win the series.
Same.
I don't know if we get the firepower, like you were saying, at the end of the lineup. Then we'll switch to the Twins. I fully expect to take two out of three from the Twins. I know that seems like a bold statement, but I think we're a better team than the Twins right now.
Speaking of, can I ask you what's going on with the Twins and some of their stars, both pitching and hitting, are not playing up to their ability? Is there?
The stars have to play. I mean, if the stars aren't playing, like, those guys have to start playing up to their, you know, assumed abilities, and they just haven't. And they're pitching, you know, ever since, I don't think their pitching has been
great. They've got Lopez. He's somebody to worry about. I don't know if we'll get him in that series or not. I don't know exactly where they are in the rotation. I think we will see him in the first game, maybe. Outside of Lopez, I'm not 100% sure who else we're going to get. I'm assuming that, oh gosh, I'm not even that familiar with the rotation. They're just such a non-factor at this point. Okay. I don't even pay attention to them.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, go ahead. Fire away.
Well, I just had one Tiger shout out. Well, I have a few more shout outs. We haven't really done a deep dive into the bullpen. And so I did want to give a shout out to someone that's pitched really well to start the season. And if the Tigers are going to take, you know, the series against the Yankees, it's going to be the bullpen that's probably going to have to win the day for the Tigers. John Brebbia is off to an awesome start this year in all shapes and forms. Yeah.
Love it.
So that is one that just a guy to keep your eye on. And I'm very bullish on this bullpen, and he is one of the big reasons why. So just number 49 in your program, just keep an eye on him. And then I want to give one more shout out, but I just want to, as we kind of wrap up, make sure that there's nothing loose ends that you want to talk about before I give my final shout.
No loose ends. Looking ahead to this Yankee series quite a bit, to the point where I have barely thought about the Twin series. Maybe I'll go to a game. And the Brewers, I think, will be an interesting series for the Tigers. It sounds like the next time we'll be on air, which will, you know, be a week from now, I think we'll be in the midst of that or just starting off that series. So that'll be interesting.
Either that or if we could do a quick one, a quick Yankees recap if we want.
We could do a quick Yankee recap if demand is there. I think we should just do a quick Yankee recap midweek. Done. Just to see what happens in that series. Okay. It's a big series. We should try
big
that
series.
Out.
Big series. Yeah. Okay, so Wednesday night, listeners.
Yeah. Let's think about that.
And then two more shout outs, both from the bullpen. My guy, Tyler Holton.
Oh, he's been glorious. Also, I've had him on the fantasy squad. I plugged him in a couple times.
Will Vestas pitching well as well. So, and if I had to go a negative from the bullpen, Kenta Maeda.
I knew you were going to bring him.
Showing his true colors.
I knew you were going to bring up our boy. He's been getting rocked.
Yeah. So the good news is he's not a starting pitcher. So.
Yep.
We can limit his damage to an inning at a time until he either figures it out or the Tigers decide to eat that money along with some others.
Just cashing checks and depositing balls in the outfield seats. Oh.
Exactly. All right. Well, then that was good. Any final thoughts or anything you want to wrap up?
And I'm excited to see what we got coming up this week, bud.
Wednesday night, we'll maybe we'll pop like a Brooklyn Brewery lager and
we're going to drink on theme.
And or a Bells, you know, maybe we'll do one of each. Depending on who wins, you know, so, all right.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Well, hey, glad to be back potting and we'll talk to you.
Enjoy game 3 of the White Sox series today.
You as
Let's
well.
Go for the sweep.
Yes. Go Tigers.
Talk to you, bud.